Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19 and verse 8 will serve as our text this morning. Acts chapter 19 and verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. The context of our scripture is Paul's preaching the gospel in Ephesus. The apostle went into the synagogue where the multitudes were, many of whom were lost and in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice that he didn't hunker down in a room with Christians only, never engaging lost souls. His preaching and teaching was done certainly in the context of those who were already saved, but it was also done in the context and in venues where there would be many present who were not. Notice in our text that Paul did 3 things. First, he spoke boldly. Secondly, he reasoned. And third, he persuaded. Now the Apostle Paul spoke boldly. In the presence of God is the absence of fear. At any time, the leaders of the synagogue or some mob comprised of the people might have taken him and dragged him out into the streets and beaten him, stoned him with stones, or had him arrested. But the Apostle Paul was not intimidated by fear of men. Rather, he was more concerned with the injunction to preach the gospel of God to all people. So many times we're afraid to speak God's truth because we fear the response of men and women, when we ought to fear God even more, being afraid of 2 things: to incur the divine displeasure through our disobedience, and secondly, we fail to be afraid of the end of those unredeemed souls of whom we're called to speak truth to. The Apostle Paul spoke boldly because he had the unconquerable hope of heaven. He could say with Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Therefore, friends, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Secondly, he reasoned. Christianity is a reasonable faith. The Lord calls us to engage our minds. He calls us to engage others in a very intelligent fashion. There's none of this foolishness in the Bible about being slain in the spirit, or this inane babbling that passes for tongues that goes on in many assemblies that profess Christendom. None of that kind of foolishness. Christianity is a reasonable faith. A reasonable faith. What saith the Lord? Come now and let us reason together. God has put eternity in our hearts, in the hearts of all men and women everywhere, that we might know that the gospel be truth. For we're all spiritual beings. We're all curious, right? We all want to know, even from childhood, is there something more than this life? Is there some truth outside of what we see? Is there something or someone that I could put my faith in? Something or someone outside of myself who can give me the peace that I desire on the inside. We all understand this. We go through gymnastics to try to avoid it when the truth hits a little bit too close to home. But we all get this. We all understand it, and all of those who are on the outside understand this to be true. Therefore, Christian, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you know something of God's truth, you will be able to reason from it. Perhaps God will even use you to lead someone to Christ. What did the Apostle Paul do in the city of Ephesus? The same thing he did everywhere else. He preached God's word boldly in a reasonable fashion, reasoning with his hearers through the word of God, that he might impart some spiritual truth and that God, the Holy Spirit, might get hold of them and convert their very souls. Third, notice that Paul persuaded. It's written in the word here that the apostle Paul not only spoke boldly, not only reasoned, but he persuaded the multitudes. He used persuasive speech. How did he do this? Well, we have a perfect example of this in the 26th chapter of Acts. You can turn there with me if you'd like. I'm going to be reading the whole chapter with a little bit of exposition, simply to give you an object lesson of how the Apostle Paul used gospel truth to persuade others. I preach these things to two ends. First, that you yourself might be persuaded by the things that are written in this book, and that as Christians, you might be instructed as to how to persuade others when presented with an opportunity to share the hope which is in you. Acts 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself. So basically what's going on here is King Agrippa has this case brought before him, and he gives the Apostle Paul an opportunity to defend his case from the witness stand. He says, "Paul, if you'd like to appear pro se in this matter, speak your defense." And so the Apostle Paul responds, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." Now, the Apostle Paul met King Agrippa where he was at. He met King Agrippa and all of those unbelieving Jews, that is, those Jews that didn't accept Jesus Christ as Messiah. He accepted them where they were at. His starting point was at the spiritual knowledge that they did have. If he was going to try to explain the gospel by some other way, he wouldn't have had very much success then, would he? The Apostle Paul said that he endeavored to be all things to all men, that he might convert some. And so his testimony was suitable to his audience. He humbly asked for a hearing. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. He wasn't presumptive. He wasn't prideful. His speech was in all humility. You're going to go a lot further in your evangelism by speaking in humility than you will by hammers and power tools. I carry a hammer around in my car, but that's only for when all other methods fail. I'm joking.